I invite you tonight to turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 2. 1 John, chapter 2, and we begin our reading at verse 12. We want to look at a threefold distinction in the family of God. John writes to believers in the family, and he says in verse 12, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Now let's pray. Loving Father, we ask in a special way tonight that thou wilt minister to our hearts as we consider this relationship with thee that is ours to have and to enjoy in the family of God. Give us a fresh glimpse of thy glory, and enable us, our God, to indeed walk by faith for Jesus' sake. Amen. When John writes to the family of God, he writes to children, he writes to young men, and he writes to fathers. And you'll notice what he has to say to the fathers. They have known him who is from the beginning. In other words, fathers are those in the faith who have maturity, and they have come to know God. They know God, they know how to trust him, they know how to depend upon him. I write unto you, fathers. When he writes to the children, he says to them, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven for his name's sake. This is the first joy of the Christian life, to realize that our sins are forgiven for his name's sake. That our sins have been taken away. There is nothing that stands against us. My sins have been removed. And every Greek word in the New Testament that is used in the area of forgiveness always has the Day of Atonement thought from the Old Testament included in it. A lifting off. A carrying away. In other words, the thought is the removal of sin from the sinner. And then he writes a second time to the little children in the middle of verse 13, or the end of verse 13, I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. The fathers that he wrote to knew him that was from the beginning. In other words, the fathers had a grasp of the eternality of God, the immutability of his throne, the faithfulness of his purposes. The little children here, whose sins are forgiven, he says, you've known the Father. And because we come to God through our Lord Jesus Christ, we know him. But my thoughts want to center tonight on the young men. When is an old man an old man? That's a good thought, isn't it? He has something to say to the young men in this passage. And he says to them the first time in verse 13, I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. He views the young men as those who are in the thick of the fight, who are there to do battle with the enemy. And then in verse 14, he writes again to them, he said, I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. These things should characterize young men for Christ, a strength to do battle with the enemy. And beloved, when we do battle with the enemy, we must have on the armor of God. And the armor of God is not carnal. The armor of God is spiritual. The warfare is spiritual. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So we need God's armor. It is not our armor. It is the armor of God. And it is given to us for protection and to do battle. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. And the word of God abideth in you. And it's only as the word of God abides in us. Beloved, this isn't a panic reading of the word of God. This is a continuous meditation in the things of God. The word of God abideth in you. Ye have overcome the wicked one. I invite you to Joshua chapter 14. I'm moving rapidly tonight. I want to give as much time as possible, but I would like to leave you with something, and I want to challenge you tonight. Because if we go ahead with this building program, we need a challenge. It is a challenge, and I want to challenge you. In the 14th chapter of Joshua, we come to verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. Now Gilgal was a place where the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. It was in Gilgal where they ate the old corn of the land. It was in Gilgal where the tabernacle was pitched. It was there that God dwelt, and there was Joshua, the leader of God's people. So they came, Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee, in Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea was a place, Numbers chapter 13, where the spies were sent in to spy out the land. There were 12 of them. Joshua was one of them. Caleb was another. And you remember Joshua and Caleb saw the Lord. And they saw the possession that God had for his people. The other 10 spies, they looked around. They saw great walled cities. They saw the giants in the land. And they came back with an evil report. And what happened? The hearts of the people grew faint. But Joshua quieted the people and he said, We'd be well able to go up. Let's go. But the people believed the majority report. And you know what happened. They wandered in the wilderness for 38 more years, but the great walled cities weren't removed. The giants weren't removed. They were still there. And the children that they said would be eaten up by the giants, they're the ones that went in and conquered the land. But here's an interesting man. This man, Caleb. Caleb was one of the two of that generation, 20 years and above, only two of them, who walked by faith and had the joy of entering into the land. We often sing that, well, we don't sing that hymn. I haven't heard it for years, but we used to sing it when I was a young fellow. I've entered the land dearly bought by his blood. I've passed over Jordan, surrendered to God. I know it's a Keswick hymn, but there's a lot of good truth to it. And I believe there is a sense in which the first epistle of John can speak to our hearts. I write unto you, young men, because you're strong, the word of God abideth in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. Now watch this man, Caleb. He says in verse 7, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware in that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. He's now 85 years old. How old is a young man? The Lord has kept me alive these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain. What a statement. What a man. And the scripture says, therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, the giants were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. What a testimony. What a testimony to faith. I write unto you little children. I write unto you fathers. I write unto you young men. Now what did this have to do with the children of Joshua? I'd like you to turn to the book of Judges, chapter 1. Judges, chapter 1. A number of months ago, I was spending a lot of time in the book of Judges. And it's amazing that when I thought about tonight and the meeting tonight, there's only one person I could think of in the whole of Scripture to speak on, and that was Caleb. But I want you to notice in the book of Judges, we read verse 11 of chapter 1, or verse 12, excuse me, and Caleb said, "He that smiteth Kirjath Sefer and taketh it, to him will I give Aksah, my daughter, to wife, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother." Now, I spent some time with that last night, and Caleb's younger brother was, if you examine the words, Caleb was the son of Jephunneh, and Caleb's younger brother was the son of Kenaz. They had the same mother, but not the same father. They were half-brothers. So, just take my word for it, because this is the only conclusion that you can come to when you study the passage. And we read in verse 14, "And it came to pass, when she came to him, that she moved him to ask of her father a field. And she lighted from off her ass, and Caleb said unto her, What wilt thou? And she said unto him, Give me a blessing, for thou hast given me a south land. Give me also springs of water." What is this young lady saying? She's saying to her father, "You've given me a place to work. You've given me a field to work in. Give me some refreshment also. Give me springs of water." And all the refreshment, beloved, that comes with a work of God. Give me springs of water. And that attitude of heart that was in Caleb 45 or more years before at Kadesh Barnea when he saw the Lord is now translated into his children as they seek to glorify God in the place of His blessing. A number of years ago, my wife and I were asleep on a Thursday night. I remember it well. My phone rang. I answered the telephone. It was Dr. Bill Cunningham from Manchester, Maryland. He was a dentist. And he had formed a group of men called the Maryland Assembly Pioneers. A group of men who had a vision of seeing the gospel grow in various assemblies throughout the state of Maryland. And they were going to meet at a place near Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, for a luncheon and for a business meeting. And it was going, and the various assemblies from that area were going to be present. And he said, his simple question was, "Phil, are you coming to the banquet on Saturday afternoon?" I said, "Yes, I'm planning on." He said, "Well, you're the speaker. It's Thursday night." I said, and I suggested a few other men who could do a better job. He said, "No, I got my speaker. It's you." And when I got to the banquet, then I really got scared. There was T.B. Gilbert, who was there. T.B. Gilbert was the man who compiled the hymn books that we use in our services. And he started more assemblies in the United States than any man that I know. And Jack Hamaker, my good friend, who's now with the Lord, he said to Bill Cunningham, he said, "Say, T.B. Gilbert's here. Why don't you ask him to speak?" I was happy about that. "No," Bill said. He turned it down. And that afternoon, there are men who had spent a lot of time preparing maps. I remember Alfred, not Alfred Loiseau, but his son Stanley. He had a map of Maryland. And he had places on the map where they'd like to start assemblies for the glory of God. Places that needed an evangelical witness. Well, I spoke that afternoon and I closed my message with Numbers chapter 14, Kadesh Barnea. I said, "Brethren, the Lord has brought us to Kadesh Barnea, just as he did the children of Israel. Are you going to go in and possess the land? Or are you just going to have another meeting this afternoon?" I can tell you something. Out of that meeting that afternoon, there's a great colored work in the city of Baltimore. There's another work on the other side, in Bel Air. There's a work near Washington, D.C. Works that have sprung up, the result of it. Beloved, may God enable us to have faith to go ahead and to conquer the land. There's much land to be possessed. Now, before I turn the meeting over to Brother Roy, I have one other thing to say. A number of questions have been asked me concerning things that are on the plans that people have looked at. And I have to take a lot of responsibility here for this reason. I did not tell them what design this plan should have. What I did, I wrote down what people told me. One good friend of mine said, "Why are we going to have a steeple on the building?" I said, "I'll tell you why." Someone said to me, "If you build a new building, please put a steeple on it." I wrote that down. Another person said to me, I want in the building, I want to enter through the front door." So I wrote that down, and I gave this list to Mr. Fleiss, who in turn gave it to the architect, and that's why we have the design of the building. So I want you to know who's responsible for that. I didn't design the, I can't draw, my wife will tell you that. All I told him is what people have made suggestions to me relative to the nursery, relative to a room for toddlers, and other things. All these things were, I wrote them down, and I gave them to the architect, or to Mr. Fly, who in turn gave it to the architect. So, I want you to know that, and don't blame anybody else for anything on there except me, because I'm the fellow who wrote it down, and I gave it to him. So if you don't like it, you'll have to blame me, and that's how it is. But this is what he came up with, and you had the privilege of looking at it. Now let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you for men like Caleb. And when we read thy word that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, we ask you, O God, to increase our faith, to enable us not to be fearful, but rather to move on. But we want to move on in your will. And oh, Father, we want thy will above anything else. If it's your will for us to stay here for the next 20 years, please don't move us. May we have the wisdom not to move. But at the same time, our Father, if it's your will for us to move out, we ask for wisdom to know just what to do. Give us a spirit that will be blessed of thee and cause us, our God, to be unified as an assembly of thy people in the work to which you've called us. Increase our faith and enable us above all else to glorify thee. We ask these things not because we deserve anything, but we ask it for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.